Amen, amen. Good morning. How's everyone doing this morning? It is obviously great to be here. It is a privilege to be speaking this morning. And for those of you who were here last week, we started a series called A Job Well Done. And really, the series is all about how we as people are called to be workers in God's vineyard. That we looked, and Paul did a great lesson about this, and you can get the CD if you weren't here last week, but how as much as we've got other things going on in our lives, and you've got a job, or you're studying, or you've got different things going on, your real work is kingdom work. Amen. That your real calling, the duties in your life that have the most significance are the things that God calls you to do. And we looked at how do we do the best that we can with what God has given us, and that's really the calling of a job well done. And what I want to do today is I want to remind you, because hopefully you know this already, that you are just the right person for the job. You know, I see employees wherever I go. Right now, unless either you're studying or you own your own business, you're an employee. I myself am an employee. I've got two jobs outside of the church that I'm currently involved in. But you know, whether you're going to the shops or you're in a company or you're at a school as a teacher, that there's something about the role of a manager that's quite important. And that is to help find the right place for the people under your supervision. To try and make sure that the people that you are supervising are in a good or in the right position. And in many ways, as you read through the scriptures, you see God playing a fairly similar role. That he's described as a landowner. He's described as a farmer, as a manager. And there's this idea that we, as disciples, as his children, are working under his guidance in his vineyard. And there's passages like Matthew 20, verse 1, that says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard." And that's very consistent with what we see in the rest of the New Testament with people like Paul writing very similar things in Ephesians. Paul says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do." So God has prepared these good works in advance for you and I to do, to work for him as his handiwork. In Timothy, it says that we are instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. But how do I measure myself to things like that? How do I know, as a worker in God's vineyard, how do I know whether I'm doing the right job? How do I know that I'm in the right position? Or how do I know that that I'm doing well? Am I doing a good job? Am I not doing a good job? I'm not getting a paycheck for my kingdom work. So I don't know how does God see all of this? And the easiest way for us to make a judgment call about how we're doing in our kingdom work is to look at other people. To look at the people around us and to make a judgment on how we're doing based on them. And yet, as easy as that is, that's also possibly the worst way to make a judgment. And, you know, as a parent, it's something that that you really struggle with your kids. Is this idea that you want them to do the best that they can. Amen. But you don't want them to be totally obsessed with how everyone else is doing. So it's kind of one of those things. It's like, man, I lost, or I didn't come first, or, and you kind of, you see that, and you want to try and teach your kids that it's not all about winning, but you still want them to do well. And it's kind of this, you know, this wrestle. It's like, listen, it's not all about the trophy, but there's a bit of a problem if the trophy means nothing. Does that kind of, does, you know, does that make sense? There's a bit of a tension there when it comes to parenting. And children, they're just so desperate. They want to be recognized. They want to get the trophy. They want to be the kid that, you know, everyone says well done to. It's, you know, at times it's so sweet, and other times it's heartbreaking. Because that little run across the field that, you know, they came third and they cry because they didn't do so well, to them it's just so important. And, you know, as adults, so often we struggle with that ourselves. Is we want to be significant. We want someone to pat us on the back and say that we did well, or that we're the best. Or we want that affirmation. We don't want to be laughed at either. In the same way as your kids don't want to be laughed at. And I would say my son, you know, he sometimes gives me a very disappointing look when he asks me, so dad, you know, did you ever win any running trophies? And I'm like, no, you know, and he says, well, did you ever win any races at school? And I'm like, no, you know, it just wasn't, you know, athletics just wasn't my thing. And so I never won any, you know, any races. And you know, every now and again he says, you know, because I teach him about practicing and training, and he says, don't worry dad, you know, if you keep practicing, maybe you'll win a race one day. So amen to him. Yeah, you can see there's kind of that slow transition where, you know, when they're young, they see you as, you know, Superman, and as they get older, you know, that whole dynamic changes. Amen. Okay. But really, we as adults, we like to compare. You know, we see other people doing better than us. Did I miss something? Oh. I thought that was the easiest joke I've ever told. But we like to compare. We look at other people doing better than us. And when we see it, it discourages us sometimes. It's just like, man, what's going on? Instead of being happy for them, we feel sad for ourselves. Or we see people doing things that maybe you used to be able to do, and for whatever reason, you can't do it anymore. And it just, maybe it makes you feel sad, or you feel angry. Maybe you see people who aren't working as hard as you and getting the same results. And you feel like, hey, that's unfair. I don't like that. That doesn't work for me. Or you see yourself doing better than someone and you feel good. Or maybe the worst of all is you see someone else fail and you feel like, oh, I'm so glad that wasn't me. And so really that's so easily the world that we live in. And in many ways, it's no different than a five-year-old in terms of the way that we so easily look at people around us to make a judgment call. And I want to remind you today, don't judge yourself based on other people. That you were made to be you. Okay, God made you to be you. And God has made you to be useful for the things that He wants you to do. So it's very neat, and it works as long as our focus is this way and not this way. And there's a number of reasons why you are just the right person for the job. And I want to give you a couple of them this morning. The first one is that you have ability. I think one of the greatest gifts that God gives His family is people who are willing to use the things that they are good at. And there's some wonderful passages in Romans 12. It says, God has given each of us the ability to do certain things well. In 1 Corinthians, it says, a spiritual gift has been given to each of us as a means of helping the entire church. Not that it's been given to some of us, or even to many of us. To all of us, things have been given to you by God to help the entire church. Also in 1 Corinthians, it says, each man has his own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that. And again, it makes it really silly to compare when you think of it in this way. When you think, man, God has given us all different gifts. Why are then we comparing ourselves to people who are so different to us? That everyone has natural abilities. Have a look in Exodus chapter 31. I love passages like this that, you know, there's passages in the Bible that are quite general. And then there's passages in the Bible that that say it so nice and clearly that it really just builds on the meaning in such a wonderful way. Exodus chapter 31, it's the second book of the Bible, of the Old Testament. And it says there in verse 1. So what's happening is God has commanded Moses to build this tabernacle, okay, like a big tent that he wants to use as a place of worship and a place where he would dwell amongst them at that time. And it says, the Lord said to Moses, see, I've chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of craftsmanship. Moreover, I have appointed Oholiab, son of Asimach, of the tribe of Dan, to help him. I have given skill to all the craftsmen to make everything I have commanded you. You just see it so clearly here how God says, listen, I want something to be done, and I've given the people the required skills to do it. And that applies to us today in exactly the same way. That God has plans and he's got things that he wants to see achieved. And I don't know what all of those are. But one thing that we do know is that God has given us what we need to achieve those things. You know, this is a message that if you've been a member of this church for a long time, you'll know we preach this message often. Just this idea of you are made to serve God in a very unique way. And you need to find out what that is because you are incredible. I mean, in this room, there are people, and I know many of you. I don't know all of you, but I know many of you. But there are people in this room who know how to talk to people that they've never met before. Now, if you are one of those people, you say, well, it's easy. Okay? If you're not one of those people, you know that it is a gift from God to be able to talk to strangers. It is a gift. Some of you are able to understand complex problems. It's a gift that's been given to you to create art. Some of you have been given the gift to fix things. I mean, when Devet comes and he visits my house and he helps me fix things and he sees how terrible I am at fixing things, I'm okay with the judgmental looks because at least I've got someone helping me. But some people have just been gifted. You just understand how to put things together. You understand fixing computers. If you know nothing about computers and it breaks, it feels like it's the end of the world. Let me just throw this thing away because the buttons aren't working. It's not switching on anymore. And yet people who know computers are like, don't worry, stand back. Oh, it's just this. And it's facts. It's like miracles happening before your eyes. Some of you are just great listeners. or not just good listeners, but you're able to understand people and find out what's going on in their heart. I mean, that is a skill that transcends any, training. It transcends any kind of, place where you are born what nationality you are. It's a gift from God. Some of you look at spreadsheets and you see order, when normal people see chaos, numbers. Some of you see order when you look at spreadsheets. Others of you are able to have people stay in your house and it doesn't stress you out. Now again, if that's you, then you're like, well, isn't that everyone? It's not everyone. Hospitality is a gift. Some of you are able to pull people together. You've just got this kind of magnetic ability. Some of you are able to bake. And I almost feel like asking you all to stand up right now and then we can give you a round of applause, but I won't embarrass you. Some of you are just great with kids. It just happened. You know, that you're able to teach and you're able to connect. Some of you, and this is a bit of a strange one, people like to dress like you. And marketers all over the world want to find people like you so that you can wear their clothes and everyone else wants to dress like you. But that's just, I don't know how to explain it. Just some people are trendy and people like to dress like them. Others are great at helping people feel good about themselves. Just have this gift of making other people feel good about themselves. Some of you are able to work harder for longer. There was just, you don't know why, but you're just one of those people that's just able to work really hard and to persevere and to push through with tough problems. It is a gift. Some of you can sell things. You're just natural salespeople. You just, sell ice to an Eskimo. Others of you are just very compassionate in your heart. You just, when you see someone hurting, you don't just kind of acknowledge it, but you're able to feel it as well, and you're able to really empathize. It's a wonderful, wonderful gift. Some of you are patient. And if you're very patient by nature, you can take it for granted. What a gift that is. Many of us here would love to have that quality. Our lives, our families would change so much if we had what you have. Some of you are good at making investments. Some of you are good at perseverance. Others can concentrate for a long period of time. You're able to sit behind a book or behind the computer and concentrate for hours and hours. It is a gift. Some of you are gentle. It's just there's this huge, I could just keep going and go. I mean, people need to go home at some point. But there's just this huge list of things that you are good at. I mean, people do studies on these things the one study, the average person has between 500 and 700 different skills and abilities. Oh, yes. You are fantastic. I can tell you that much. And in 1 Peter 4, it says, each one should use whatever gifts he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. The amazing thing about gifts and how our abilities are all spread out is what is normal for you is a gift of an act of God's grace to someone else. And that's kind of how the kingdom works. And, let me tell you, for God's plan for your life, you are just the right person for the job. I think secondly, you have experience. It's obviously these last couple of months with Nelson Mandela passing away, there's been a lot of, wonderful stuff written and things going on. And the great thing is, and it's interesting as a South African, is to see things happening overseas. And you're like, hey, South Africans, we understand, but it's amazing to see the rest of the world respond in such a wonderful way. And why did the world respond? What was one of the reasons that the world responded so much to Nelson Mandela when there are actually many people who preach the same message. And the reason is experience. That it's one thing to have a good idea about what is right. It's a whole different ball game to have been through a situation and to choose what is right. And, you know, we are shaped by the experiences that we've had. And that's both positive and negative. The family that you grew up in, where you grew up, whether it was here in Cape Town, whether it was Johannesburg, the Eastern Cape, whether you grew up in a city, whether you grew up, in the rural areas, whether you are a South African, whether you were born in another part of Africa, whether you were born outside of Africa or you grew up outside of Africa, every experience that you've had gets pieced together to make you who you are, whether that's work experiences, whether that's relational experiences, both good and bad, it all gets put together. And, you know, I know that some of you, many of you, have had unimaginable hurts in your life. And, you know, I've been around the church, I've been around you long enough to hear many of those, stories. Of bitter and terrible loss, stories of deep dark depression, stories of loneliness. There's just so much, and yet at the same time, I've also heard many prayers answered, and I've been there with you to celebrate many victories and many great stories, and seen many miracles. I absolutely believe in miracles, and to have seen them. And you know, God has allowed some of these things, whether good or bad, for a reason. And some of your greatest service to God can come through some of those very most hurtful of situations. And, you know, Romans 8, a powerful and a well-known passage, says the following: "And we know that in all things, not just the good things, all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son." You know, in 2 Corinthians 1, it says, "He comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort others when others are troubled. We will be able to give them the same comfort that God has given us." It is it's an emotional, it is a difficult passage, especially if you've been through something difficult. But how powerful that God provided comfort for you so that you can provide comfort for others. And, you know, as hard as things might have been in your life, or you've been through dips, or, you know, as great as things have been, and you've experienced, you know, high peaks in your life, understand that you have, through your experience, something to give to others. That part of your life experience has been there so that you can reach out and help other people. And let us never minimize our own experiences, and especially the experiences of other people. But rather, I think as a family, yet let's use our experiences to learn, and yet use our experiences to help those around us. Amen. Thirdly, what else do we have to, you know, kind of clear up the fact that we are the right person for the job? We have availability. Okay? Now, right now, you're like, "Whoa, not available. Schedule's too full already, but thanks for coming." Okay? Well, I think, you know, your abilities and your experiences are in many ways only really a function of your availability. Okay? You can have someone who's just the right person for the job, but if you call them up and ask them to come and help you and they're not available, all of their experience and all of their ability means nothing. So availability is a true part of our service to God. And, you know, I think I wanted to kind of say this right up front, because I think it's something that young parents struggle with a lot, is to go from available to kind of, I don't want to say chaos, but semi-chaos. And it is a real challenge to feel like, man, I used to serve God in this way and this way and that way, and now all of a sudden, I'm feeling restricted. How does God feel about that? And it can be something to really wrestle with in your heart is, you know, my availability is restricted by certain situations in your life. And to kind of wrestle with, how does God feel about that? I mean, I used to be able to do this. You know, now I can't. Now I can only do this. And that's why it's so important not to look around. You got to figure out, how can I do the best that I can do with what God has given me? And that includes your availability. And really, only you can figure that out. You know, and you can get people around you to help you, but you need to figure out for yourself, given what I'm going through now, how can I do the best that I can with what I have? And with many situations, it's not that much. With many scenarios, and I think young children or babies is such a great example. Man, you know, you can kind of pray a little bit sometimes. But it is hard. It is challenging. Or, you know, weeks when your children are sick. Or for students, if you're going through exam, you know, and test week. It's just, you know, life is not a constant. Our availability kind of goes up and down. And we need to figure out, how can we give the best that we can with what we have? You know, there's I remember getting this on Facebook a little while ago. This you'll see a kind of graphic there. And can you see that? It's kind of, you know, it talks a little bit about, and it's a gross generalization, okay? And don't take it too seriously. But it's kind of a little anecdote about life, you know, and how, you know, when you're young, you've got a lot more time and energy than you have of money. Okay, and as you kind of get a little bit older, you know, life gets hectic and you've got children and careers and all of that. And so, you know, the money goes up a little bit, hopefully, and the energy's still okay. And then, you know, as you get a little bit older, you know, a bit of the time comes back and, you know, the money, depending, okay, that's definitely not, you know, not a guarantee, but the energy levels go down. And it's just kind of the simple representation that we are all at different places. And your availability and the person sitting next to you's availability to do certain things for God is just different. And we need to figure it out for ourselves. That nobody is Superman, and we all have constraints. And yet having said that, what is important is to make sure that you try your hardest to make yourself available to what God, for what God wants from you. And again, as a parent, it's sometimes you can think, man, I should be doing kingdom work. Is it not kingdom work to look after babies? Your baby. That is great kingdom work. And just, you know, we need to figure out, you know, how can I make myself available for kingdom work? And you know, I know a number of you have, you know, very challenging work schedules and family schedules. And on top of that, you have extremely busy kingdom lives. You lead Bible talks, or you serve in service teams at church, or you teach in Kids Zone, or you're on the board. And I want to say, well done. I think it's great. It's so easy to be a victim of your own excuses. And I think there's nothing more inspiring, and again, we all need to figure it out for ourselves, but there's nothing more inspiring than seeing a disciple of Jesus who's already busy to figure out a way to serve God and to serve others with what they have. But you need to make yourself available. And, you know, I think it's so important to serve where you're at. A great passage in 1 Corinthians 12, it says, God works through different people in different ways, but it is the same God who achieves his purpose through them all. And you know, one of the things is, you know, that we love groups. Okay? If you're going through something, I know that for many of us, one of the first things that comes to mind is, man, we need to have a church group that deals with this. You know, and often in the ministry, that's kind of what happens. It's, you know, man, you know, as a church, we need to work on our love. Let's have a group where we encourage one another. Or, you know, let's have a group that deals with this particular situation or this kind of recovery group. We like groups, and I get that, okay? I know what it's like. I like to do things in a team, okay? But, you know, often, you know, and we feel strongly and we want other people to be served through our passions, okay? But one of the things that I think we can forget is sometimes God puts things on your heart, not to make a group, but just to help one person. And that's kind of the kingdom network. Is it's easy to make programs. Let's have a program. Let's have meetings. Let's have more meetings to deal with more issues. But the real kingdom family is let's not have more groups. Let's take the things that we feel and that God puts on our hearts and we have experience or we feel available, and maybe it's just to help one person, to find out who that person is and to love them and to build them up. And I think that sometimes the answer isn't in starting groups and programs. It's just being a family. And I think the last point I want to share is, you know, sometimes the things that God wants you to do are not within your ability. You also have no experience in them. And if you apply your rational mind, you also realize that you're not available. But God has still asked you to do it. And so there's an extra tool in the toolkit, okay? And that tool is attitude. You know, in Philippians, talking about Jesus, remember, this is the Son of God. Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. You know, Jesus came from heaven, from God, is in nature, God made himself a servant, a slave, in order to show us the grace that we didn't even ask for, but we needed. I mean, it's such a great, just such a great reflection of the attitude that Jesus had coming to reach out to us. That he made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant. And, you know, this week, Maura and myself and a couple of you, we stole an idea from two of my brother-in-laws in Johannesburg. They're part of our church in Johannesburg. They had an idea of the 60-60-60 campaign. And it's just kind of this idea to kind of jumpstart their hearts. And we were like, Moore and I were like, man, we need a little bit of a jumpstart to our heart. And how the 60-60-60 campaign works is for a week, okay, Monday to Friday, is 60 minutes of prayer, 60 hours of fasting, okay, which is 6 till 6 every day, okay, 12 hours a day. And to invite 60 people either to church or to Bible talk or to study the Bible over a 5-day period. And you're welcome to join. I know the Smiths are in, Leandy's in, but I'm not saying this as a recruiting. I'm doing it for myself. But here's the thing. This week, while I'm planning to do this, I've got a big deadline on Thursday, kind of one of my first big deadlines for the year. I've got a lesson to prepare for next Sunday. Okay, so if you fell asleep today, you know, you can skip next Sunday. I'm just kidding. I've got my kind of work schedule is such at the moment where I'm having to work late nights, okay, for my work. So, you know, everything about this week says don't do this week. But in many ways, That's the whole point, is that sometimes God puts something on your heart and it's not the right time, or you don't feel like you're the right person for the job, or you look and you say, I just don't have experience in this area. But you know what? That's when your attitude comes in. And that's when the attitude and the spirit of a disciple kicks in, which is, I'm not burdened by the facts. You know what? The facts, they can burden other people. But as a disciple, I live by faith, not by the facts. And the world may see my constraints as being very real, but the way God sees constraints is as opportunity. And I want to encourage you as disciples and as a church is don't see yourself as being boxed in by anything. God has dreams for your life far greater than your own dreams for your own life. But you need to make yourself available. You need to be able to see your talents and your abilities and say, I've been given this by God in order to do things for God. And to be able to look at your experiences to say, man, this has been difficult or this has been great, but God has allowed it and He has given it to me so that I can serve others. Church, you are just the right person for the job. Amen. Let's go to God and pray.